So that's the logic of this. So a person allowed to put water directly in the sun on Shabbat. But if he puts it in the fire, it's forbidden. If he does it on purpose, the person makes a cup of tea on Shabbat on purpose, it's forbidden for him forever. We talked about last week, right? He put the swimming pool on Shabbat, forbidden forever. Wow! That's a chiddush. Even the pot is forbidden to be used, because the pot absorbs forbidden material. The pot needs hagalah. Wow! Say a guy who's kosher, he keeps kosher, doesn't keep Shabbat. Well, this is amazing. Guy keeps kosher, doesn't keep Shabbat. And he cooks on Shabbat. Now he wants to do teshuvah, he wants to keep Shabbat. So now what about his pots and pans? And so whatever he cooks on Shabbat, he's got to do Hagalah, he's got to kosher. Why does he have to kosher? It was kosher. And then he says, because the cooking on Shabbat, what did he cook? It's forbidden to him forever. So he's going to take it out of the pot. The pool you can't. The only way you can catch the pool is by making a hole in it and starting to destroy it. Exactly. Well, the only way we said is to set it to someone else. So why does he have to kosher the pot? The answer is because it contains material which is forbidden for him. But the interesting would be he'd be allowed to give the pot to another Jew, and the Jew would be allowed to use it without Hagar. Because it's only forbidden to him forever. But for others, it's only forbidden after Shabbat. Other people could use that food straight after Shabbat. So for them, the pot's okay after Shabbat over the pot's okay for them. For him, the pot is never okay unless he does have that. Interesting. If he does it unintentionally, it's forbidden whole of Shabbat. Whether for him or for other people. But straight after Shabbat, it's allowed. Then lo ben lachri, for him or for others. Now we come to an interesting case. If a non-Jew cooks for him on Shabbat, something where there's no problem with Bishul Akum. So for example, with coffee. Coffee, there's no problem with Bishul Akum. Baruch Hashem, buy coffee anyway. There's no problem with a non-Jew cooking. Baruch Hashem, I like it. You buy coffee anyway. Social coffee. The trouble is today, they're concocting all sorts of stuff. You don't know what's in that cup now. They're just pure coffee, latte, I don't know, they have no mixtures. So they have all these concoctions now. You know what they're adding now. But you know, it's just coffee and milk. You can drink it anywhere. Anywhere. There's no bishul akum, even though today a cup of coffee is technique, I don't know. And it's not so easy to make. Baruch Hashem, the rabbis didn't make a word by coffee. Coffee or tea, you could have anywhere. It's just coffee and tea, that's all it is. So there's no bishul akum. So he cooked it on Shabbat for this person. Or a kosher cup. So the cup is okay. Why? Because there's no bishul. It's not bishul akum. And he did it for the Jew on Shabbat. So what happens? Asur bo biyom. The Jew can't have it. This applies to any work that a non-Jew did for a Jew on Shabbat. He can't use it on Shabbat, and he can't use it the time to make it on Shabbat. After Shabbat, it took 3 hours to make. He baked the Jew. I don't know, I can't say cake. So what do you do? So no dish like it. He boiled the carrots for him. And he made some Moroccan salad. Carrot salad. How long does it take to boil carrots? 10 minutes? So you can't eat the salad until 10 minutes after Shabbat. The classic case today is donuts. You tell people not to eat the donuts, you can't eat donuts until an hour after Shabbat. Why? Because if you eat it straight after Shabbat, the non-Jew will come along and say, you know what, the Jew's coming straight after Shabbat, I'm going to cook it on Shabbat for them. He'll be ready. So this way he has an hour after Shabbat to prepare for the Jews. So there's a whole influx of Jews, he's going to work on Shabbat for them. So of course he's going to work on Shabbat for you. So they tell people to wait an hour after Shabbat to eat Dunkin' Donuts. That's the whole issue about Bishul Akum by Dunkin' Donuts. The Jew lights the fire. The question is it enough for Sfaradim? Sfaradim, because we say it's not enough for the Jews to light the fire by cooking. By baking, everyone agrees, it's enough for the Jews to light the fire. But by cooking, it's far more much more strict. He says he's got to put the food on the fire. The Jews go to put the food on the fire, cook it after a third of the cooking. So the question is, are donuts cooked or baked? So anyway, Rabbi Bar Yosef has leaked it. He has a strict. He was once strict, and he changed his mind. He's going to leave it by donuts. this was recently. He got lenient by donuts.
The Dunkin' Donuts were okay for Cardi Donuts?
Yeah. Donuts are okay. Okay. Same extension would be spaghetti and noodles and that stuff. Okay. So let's go back and repeat that. It's very important. This is a very important rule. So if a Jew did something on purpose, or some other Jew did something on purpose for another Jew, that Jew could never have benefit forever. Never. If he did something unintentional, so everyone can have benefit straight after Shabbat. If a Jew did something unintentional, everyone can have benefit straight after Shabbat. And if he did something intentional for one person, the other people can have benefit from it straight after Shabbat. There are three cases on purpose. One is he did it for a certain specific individual on purpose, for him it's for anybody. Number two is if he did it specifically for one person, the other people could have it after Shabbat. Then you have unintentional, two cases but intentional. Unintentional is, it's allowed for everyone straight after Shabbat. That's the third case. The fourth case is the non-Jew does something for you on Shabbat. You can't have it after Shabbat, over here there's a tenas. There's a fine. You have to wait the time it took for him to do it. A non-Jew is stricter than a Jew. So a Jew did something on Shabbat unintentionally, straight away after Shabbat. If a non-Jew did it specifically for you, you have to wait the time it took after Shabbat.
What about food?
For anything, it could be anything. He built you something. A non-Jew built you a food on Shabbat. So how long did you have to wait? You have to wait the time it took to make it. So it took him 8 Shabbat to make it. You have to wait after the Shabbat, you have to wait 8 Shabbat to make it. You built your house, same thing. How many Shabbats went into building the house? You've got to wait that time after. You wait the days. You have to wait the Shabbat to wait the days. Right, exactly. You bought it, he built it for you over. Same thing, he didn't fix your car. You gave it to him to fix your car. 1 minute before Shabbat, he gives it to you the day, a minute after Shabbat. How long do you have to wait? You have to ask him. How long did it take to fix it? 3 hours? You wait 3 hours after Shabbat. You can't use it straight after. You have to wait that 3 hours. That's by not Jews. So interesting as a kness. But you did it for you on Shabbat. Unintentionally, you can use it straight after. Unintentionally. Does it do on purpose? If you see car on purpose? You can obviously break the same thing. You fix it, but that you fix it again. That's all the point. Okay. So now we're talking again, we're going back to Exodus. This is a little side point. This is brought down the Shulchan Aruch from the laws of cooking. So he brought it down over here by the laws of cooking in the sun. So by non-Jew, the rabbis were more strict. Why? Because for a Jew, telling non-Jews, yeah, well, he's not Jewish, so what difference does it make? It's much easier in people's eyes. The rabbis said, you know, it's easier in your eyes, make it stricter. Anything which is easier for us, the rabbis said, make it stricter. But people don't want to be easier. Okay, now we come to number two. Any time a person does something forbidden on Shabbat, on purpose, it's straight away allowed for other people. Okay, that's general. So if you built, what do you do on Shabbat? You built me a chair on Shabbat. I can never use that chair. If you built me a chair, or I built myself a chair on Shabbat, I can never use that chair. But someone else can use it straight off the Shabbat. Another Jew can use a chair on Shabbat. So if a Jew did something forbidden on Shabbat, you can never, if you did it for you, you can never use it. If you did it for yourself, you can never use it. Other people you didn't do it for, you use it straight away, after Shabbat. That applies to any kind of work, not just by cooking. Okay, now we have a question of mine. In the Talei Farad Zeh Bakr, the Ramah says over here, that if it gets mixed into something else, it's annulled. Why? So there's a whole big discussion here. I don't want to go too technical, but basically there's a concept that something which is allowed later on is never annulled. For example, chametz and pesach. Chametz falls into the pot. How much do you need to annul chametz? No amount annuls chametz. I feel better. So even a thousand. I'm going to say even a thousand means 1,001 get annulled. In a pair of them. There's one thing that says. Because the Gemara says, not even 1,000 parts against it would annul it. Why say 1,000? Why not say 1,000,000? Some people say, We don't call it victim. There isn't a tumah. They use that to use the water of the Kineret. Huh? Well, it's an ob. It's an ob, isn't it? A woman. It's an ob. The fellet is something else. The fellet, say a piece of bread fell into the Kineret. You know how big the Kineret is? See. So now if you say Chametz never an ob, you want a million never be an ob. If you say it's not an ob in 1,000, but 1,000 whatever would be an ob, so you can read the water of the Kineret. Or what do you say? You've got a big chew about drinking the water of the Kineret. Because there's ready water, it's from the Kineret. In Yerushalayim now, they stopped getting water from the Kineret for Pesach. They have underground, they worry about Kineret, it's bread in the Kineret. Only Jews would worry about bread in the Kineret. That's why. Right, so you never know, even over here, some people don't, they buy bottled water for Pesach, or they bottle the water themselves. Because it's bread in the reservoir, never know. So what Yosef brings down, one of the reasons to allow it is that there is a thing that is when I come into the world. Many years ago, it's a thing that says it's not an order of thousands, it's another 1,000. It's other things as well. But let's go back to that. So why is Chametz not announced? Why is it not announced? The answer is Davar Shi'ishko Batiri. It's going to be allowed after Pesach. So I said, since it's going to be allowed after Pesach, on Pesach, we're going to be scripted. Because why eat it now and make it annul? Well, you can wait just after Pesach. Wait a few more days and it's going to be allowed. So therefore, we're going to be scripted. That's general. Something which is going to be allowed later on, that says no, no, no. So this question is, the Rama says that if something which is forbidden for you, so good, let's get an example. A Jew cooked for you, what do you cook for you? He got water. Water's not the example. It cools down again. He made tea for you just before Shabbat ended. Did you? Never lied to you. Well, that tea gets mixed up in another 60 cups of tea. Are you allowed to drink it? So he says yes. Because for you, it's never enough. Never enough. So it's not considered that actually Shabbat tea. It's not something which is going to be enough later on. Not be allowed later on. And therefore, it's considered something asur, which is enough. Okay? That's a big thing over here. But that's only, some people want to say that's only by the guy who he cooked it for, because that is never an altar. But for other people, since it's not later on, why allow it for them on Shabbat? So you got the case is, I cooked a cup of tea for you on Shabbat, which will never happen. I cooked a cup of tea for you on Shabbat. And now, I cooked it for you. We cooked for you. So now on Shabbat, it got mixed up with tea which was cooked before Shabbat. Or it got mixed up with tea which was cooked in the tea shlishi on Shabbat. So now you have 100 cups of tea. One is cooked purposely on Shabbat. But for you. So you, it's interesting to drink it straight away on Shabbat. Why? Because it's something forbidden, which fell into something alive. And not 160. So you can drink it straight away. The other guys can't drink it because it's allowed for them after Shabbat. So I said, since it's allowed for the after Shabbat, so why should they drink it now? It's usually good too, but they drink it later. It's interesting. So there, it's more lenient for the guy it was cooked for. Okay. This is rabbinical logic. So the first opinion says allowed to everyone. The no. Second opinion says no. It's the bashi yeshu batiru for the other people. It's going to be allowed for them later on. So therefore, why annul it now? Wait for them to have it later on. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. This is like a tangent. This is really tangential. Right, there's a big debate about this. Actually, about this. I'm not going to go through this whole thing. It's a lot of difficulty. Okay. Look how long this is. This is very unusual for Ben Ishai because he's writing for the masses over here. Okay, now we come to number three. Let's get to number three. Even though we said you're allowed to cook an egg in the sun, it's only directly in the sun. However, there's something indirect in the sun, which is something which is heated already by the sun. Like a cloth which is already heated, preheated by the sun. It's forbidden to break the egg. So today there's a hot plate. You put the plate in the sun, the plate heats up. It's forbidden to break the egg into the plate. Because then people say, it's heated, it's hot. They won't know it's heated by the sun, heated by the fire. They'll take a plate which is heated by the fire and put it in the break the egg into it. First, who sees it will think it was heated by the fire. So he'll also take an egg and heat it and break it into a plate which is heated by the fire. Similarly, he's not allowed to break it like on a stone which is heated by the sun. Number four. Okay, this is the case there which I talked about. Whoa. You're cooking for someone who is sick.
It's
a
roll, right?
Right. So you want to roll the hard boiled egg. You make a hard boiled egg.
Oh, it's
a cold egg, you're rolling on the sand.
Okay.
So one way to make a hard boiled egg. You get hot sand, you roll the sand on the egg, so you cover it up. So you're not allowed to do that because it's big. So you have to roll the egg on the sand.
Okay.
So it's asur to roll the egg on hot sand, even though it's heated by the sun. So you have to wait for the sun to break the egg on something cold and then put it in the sun. It's really pretty good for the sunshine. Because you had a pack of a plate in your hand with a broken egg. So you're really cooking it in the sun. People don't know this law, you're going to get a big job right here. So when you want to drive everyone crazy, you walk past all the sunny guys with a... Okay, don't try it.
Why does that
arrive? That's allowed. Huh? Because the Torah, in those days, the Torah didn't dress like that. They never could dress up in the Mishkan. So what is cooking? What's that we just talked about? What is the definition of cooking? What is the halakhic definition of cooking? So he said cooking is only by fire. Halakhic definition of cooking is by fire. Even though it's the same process. Is it cooked? Yeah, it's cooked. It wasn't cooked by fire. The Torah addresses cooking by fire. The Torah only discusses the cooked by fire. This address. The sun, I don't know if it's warm, I know what it's called. It's definitely cooking. That's why we have the semantics. It's semantics. But it's cooking, it's the same process, but it's done by a different source. It's done by a different source. The Torah doesn't address a different source. So it's going to be Moshe Feishli. And Moshe Feishli is a question about microwaves. So say the microwave is set. It's going to come on automatically at 6 o'clock. And you have to put the food in. It's on Shabbat. Can you put the food in on Shabbat, close the door, and let it come on by itself? This is that. Why not? Because Rashi says, the problem with fire is it's derech mishul, the way of normal cooking. Because today microwave is open the way normally cooking. I don't think it makes it. Since it's forbidden for that, I think so. Really, I think it's more like the sun. Because the waves, like the sun is waves. The sun is electromagnetic waves. Microwaves also make electromagnetic waves. And at the time of the Torah, they never cooked today. So now, supposedly now we all come along and cook with the sun. Does that make it the way it's normally cooked? Therefore, it should be forbidden? No. Why say microwaves? It's because the rabbis today made it such offense. The rabbis today made. I don't see Rabbi Mike. I want to hear somebody say about microwaves.
Oh, no.
I never saw him saying for that. It's a plant support. Although, if you compare it to the sun, it's directly from the energy radiation. But here it's a man made radiation. It's not a. There's a bit of this. You're creating it. But it was created like it's an electric, it's timer, it's timer. You didn't do anything, it's all timer. Can you put the food in? So would you be allowed to do that?
If the light goes on, you set the time on the light to go on to keep the...
That's allowed.
It's on the cooker. You want to go into the actual building?
That'll be allowed. Let me get this, this is a big machlokes. And this is even on fire. The question is, are you on Shabbat allowed to set your timer to put the hot water on for you? Make a cup of tea. Coffee. Coffee maker. On Shabbat. So you set it before Shabbat, it comes on Shabbat. Yes or no?
No.
Why do you I see yes. I see yes. You're not doing anything. It's cooking for you. For a lot of Ashkenazim say that. Big bakhlaka. And so in Rabbi Heinemann of Stake allows it. A lot of others give flack. A lot of flack.
Because you're not boiling water.
It's boiling by itself on a timer. It's on a timer, which comes on a Shabbat. It's boiling well. Same thing. It's boiling, which is hot. It's over 120 degrees. It doesn't go. It gets to that point, then it cools down. The question is, if you said it before, anyway, we're getting too complicated. Huh? I allow it. I allow Rabbi's in Brooklyn. If you look at the Lahir, Rabbi Heidemann allows it. That is the Sparta. So in his Hashgacha, he's on Shabbat. They set the timers on the water urns. Come on Shabbat to heat the water for the party. Which a lot of people say, oh, what are you doing? You're doing it. It's okay because you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. It's your timer for it. You're a coffee maker, you're not. Or set the alarm clock. Set the alarm clock. Set the alarm clock. Yeah. No. You're allowed to make salad on Shabbat. Okay, you're allowed to make salad. Probably she's cooking, no? Why? Because 39 falls away. You learn from the Mishkan. So they used to. So that's the way they made. That's how they made the dice. Thank God they didn't make salad, otherwise you're making salad on Shabbat. If they made salad to make the Mishkan, they would be able to. Anything they did to make the Mishkan. Yes. Yes. We learn from the same thing. No, just making fire separate. Go to Baru Esh. That's explicit. Don't like fire. Cooking is not explicit. There's only carrying and cooking. Two things are explicit. So I say explicitly don't make fires. The home of Kodaka. Which means in your houses, but you're allowed to make it in the temple. You learn out from there, the problem that you're allowed to bring that Shabbat. The other explicit is, says, don't carry. Because the guy is cool for carry. Yeah. So that's that. Carry that Shabbat. The Koshesh is Tibi on Shabbat. So he's gathering sticks on Shabbat. He's carrying that Shabbat. So he says, well, what are we going to do with it, Moshe? Moshe says, I've got to find out myself. I don't know myself. Well, are you actually going to kill the guy? Well, what are we going to do? Shit. Do this. They want him. Yep, it's explicit in the Torah. Thank God, I'm highly probably got neighbor. I didn't get it yet. We gotta wait and see. I think you can dress it. I think that's more indirect. That's not direct. Even though you can see it's sunlight, but you're all trained to sunlight. That's what we discuss here. Okay, a person who cooks now, we're talking about cooking already. We're going to skip the time, let's say, finish the time. A person who cooks on Shabbat, or does any other kind of work, for a sick person who's in danger of his life, you're allowed to break through order. So the guy was dying, the doctor says, get him some hot water. Some hot water on Shabbat. Asur Shabbat Labari. So there's another guy next door to him who's healthy. Oh, what are you? Can I use it? So it's not only allowed for a healthy person, it's also allowed for a sick. It's not allowed for a sick person who is not in danger of life. It's only allowed to do it specifically for the person who's sick. In case why? Because there should be a bit. Okay, so he says, you know what? I'm cooking for the sick person anyway. Let's add a few more pieces of meat. Not sure about it. So we find over here, we've got a reduce as much as possible. So the other guy needs one cup of soup, you better make one cup of soup. Now it's 2 cups of soup, 3 cups of soup. You don't make 50 for a whole family. So you make use of this guy, he's dying, that's good for everyone. They like it. Yeah. You can ask the Lord to turn it on even for someone who's not in danger. So he's a sick person, he's in bed. What's the definition of a sick person? So there's 3 levels. The first level is Bichush Ba'ana. The headache. Guy with the headache, you don't break Shabbat. No, we better go out of it. He's walking around like a healthy person, unless he's in bed. Now, Fala Mishkav is the second level where it's he's not in danger, but he felt like he's in bed already. He's bedridden. Once he's bedridden, he can break the ability to walk. A lot. If you have a non Jew there, everything's a ability. So you can ask him to do this, switch on the light, switch off the light. And if he's in danger of his life, he can break anything. Similarly, if you got a non-Jew to break Shabbat for someone who is not in danger, or who is in danger, you can't tell him to do extra for you as well. because, you know, I need to go to the market to buy some medicine. Once you're there, pick up some stuff for me as well. Once you're there. Shemi Rabbi Bishvila. Whatever he did, which was left over, the sick person is allowed for the healthy person to throw out the Shabbat. So they cook meat for the sick person on Shabbat. And it's allowed, it's minimized. You guys need it. That's right, everyone can eat. You don't have to wait the time it took to eat. Rakhi by Tavah Melachabi Bishur Sheshbo Isub Bishule Goyim. It was something which was allowed, so you tell them not to cook for it. Then I, what's better for the Jew to cook? It's an interesting case. What's better for the Jew to break Shabbat and cook for the sick person? Or let the non-Jew cook for it. Yeah.
A Jew
cookie is asher for the Torah. A non-Jew cookie is asher for the rabbis.
Yeah, but
for
the Jew fulfills
the mitzvah. You could fill it through the
non-Jew. He doesn't have obligation to
do that. Okay. You could fill it through it. The guy saved. The same result. You got the same result. So why should you have to break it? So there's a hutra or dechuya. Hutra. Something possible. Is it allowed completely or is it just pushed? You minimize as much as possible. Kaddish Chai says, a hutra means it's allowed completely. You have to minimize. There's a whole big debate. You have to minimize or can you just...
The fell down on a person.
You can dig up to his nose or up to his chest.
Are you going to wait for an
answer? No, you don't wait. Pick one if you don't wait.
Yeah.
So I'm saying there's both people, there's two over there. The truth is you booked it.
Yeah.
Sure. There's something which you can do, it's not going to take much time, he's right there, there's only one person needed. That's the question. If I have to do it, you do it. So you minimize. That's the Benish Chai's opinion. Rav Avadia says, what's safe? Mutar. Sutra. There's no difference between you do here. Sutra. But there's a lot of math left about that. You're going to see, it's an interesting case. I don't know if you're busy over here, but it's an interesting case in Halakha. The doctor says he needs a date. Sick person does days, not much medicine. So he's got food for all these things. He needs a fig. He's lost a day. He's going to die because he needs a fig. So you have a branch with two figs, and you have a branch with one fig. Which one do you break? Minimize. But the truth is, you're not doing much different. You're cutting the branch, so over here you're harvesting one and you're harvesting two. The same act of harvesting. Yeah, you can pluck it. Should minimize. Let me ask you another question. The guy needs meat. He needs meat. You have two chickens. One is big, fat, and the other one is small. Which one do you crack? Does it make a difference? What difference does it make? It doesn't. So the answer is minimize. Well, you're not allowed to cook extra. Something which we have to think about. That's what the poskim discuss. I'm never learning this. That's what they discuss over here. Minimizing. Kutra de Huya, that's the whole issue here. Is it allowed, in which case you can cut whatever you want? You don't have to minimize. Or is it pushed? That's the minimum. Yeah. Yes. Straight after Shabbat, that's what it says. If you eat straight after Shabbat, it's left over. You can't cook extra. You use it. It's kosher. It was done better.
But not on Shabbat.
On Shabbat. People say, let's increase. Okay. Okay, we did that. But if a non-Jew cooked for an unhealthy person on Shabbat, the pots become drained. So therefore the food's not allowed after Shabbat for anyone else. Even to the sick person, not allowed after Shabbat. It's only allowed for him on Shabbat, which is another way of getting it. That's a whole big discussion. And then I had this interesting question. So now it's Shabbat. The doctor said the guy's got to eat meat. Do you go to Charlie Brown and pick up a steak, or do you cook the thing on Shabbat? So it depends. If there's no time, so go to Charlie Brown and get a steak. But if it takes the same time, you have to feed yourself. Why? Why give him treif, which... That's what we're talking about. Why give him treif, which is going to make him bad? It's going to go inside his body and affect him. And you can give him kosher. interesting question. Mm-hmm. Eating Yom Kippur is kosher, right? No problem. But say you have to get meat, so if you get the kosher meat, then kosher meat. So it's better to give kosher meat if you can. Because breaking Shabbat is a once-off thing, but eating meat, you can never get rid of that ingestion. But again, if it's immediate, you have to get an ingestion. It's immediate use. It saves the life, comes first. The guy's dying of starvation, so he goes to the nearest food source. But if there's no difference between food source, you're trying to get a kosher meat. It even involves breaking Shabbat, right? It's better to eat kosher. But over here, by a rabbinical law of Bishul Akum, you say it's not the non-Jew kosher. But the trouble is, once he cooks from in the pot becomes treif, and the food is not treif after Shabbat. Because he can get kosher food. Kriheres magirish harosh pavim v'dir. It's interesting, normally we say a vessel which is made apart, we have to break. There's no kosher yet. But he says, in this case, since it was done on Shabbat for a sick person, otherwise the guy won't do it again. Telling you, break your vessel. He won't let anyone use it. So we tell him, okay, we'll allow you to use it after you put it in hot water 3 times. So here we leave it. It's interesting. And if afterwards they use these vessels to cook with, and they didn't do Haggadah, the food is allowed since it has, it's an oath. It was absorbed through the mouth. It's an oath. Any questions? This is very complicated stuff. Yes, you wait 24 hours, and boil, put in boiling water 3 times. That's for pottery. Which normally we say you can't kosher pottery. A regular thing, you just go and put it once. That's it. Agonize once. Not 3 times. But over here, just by this case, where he cooked, a non-Jew cooked on Shabbat for a sick person, in your pottery, you allow you to kosher the pottery. Whereas you go, I don't want anyone to cook on Shabbat for me. For my sick person. Yeah, goodbye. So who's going to suffer? The sick people are going to suffer. So we allow it. Such as like we tell the doctor. We allow a doctor to drive to the hospital, God help us, and to drive back home. How do we allow him to drive back home? Well, if you don't allow him to drive back home, we'll go to the hospital. Don't encourage him to go. It's an interesting case. Fascinating. He's allowed to drive back home. Only a doctor, not anyone else. So you have to go to the hospital, you go one way, but you can't drive back home. The doctor says a sick person. So you can drive with him in the ambulance, you can't drive back. That's your doctor. Your doctor is so hopeless. Like the ambulance, same thing. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck over there, you're not going to be able to help anyone else. But even a doctor's not helping anyone else. Then, right back home as well. Or get a ride or something. In the Shari setting in Jerusalem, they have a bus service, driven by non-Jews, to bring and take the nurses home on Shabbat. You tell them, if they don't want to go home on Shabbat, they're not going to come. So we send them home as well. It's called the Bashalot, Bashalot, Kodim Shabbat. Things which are not cooked before Shabbat. You can't put them in hot water, which is over hand hot. Even if it doesn't melt with this dipping. So that's the law. The law of cooking is water which is over Yatzel Edebor. Yatzel Edebor is 112 degrees Fahrenheit, 48 Celsius. I don't have it. They measured it. There's a royal figure that it's going to see. It says you don't measure this with our finger. Yeah, women especially can touch things which are really hot. Men can get burnt. I get burnt. I touch my wife touches it. I don't know how they get used to the heat. The figures are maybe quite burnt up and over the dermis. The burnt up and over these the center touch.
How do we measure it? It says kol chikreso shel tinoch nechved
b'hem. How do you measure this?
If the baby's stomach will get burnt by this heat, you have to let it go.
We're not going to try on a baby to get it. We try it on our fingers. Well, that's what we did. So today we have a temperature. 112. 112 Fahrenheit. How are you going to measure on Shabbat? Forget it. Can't do it. Can't even measure it. So you go like this. It's very hot. The water's hot. You can't use it. So you can't put a tea bag in a tea with Sean. And then it's on fire. Very hot. It was on the fire to go on fire. You can't put a tea bag in there while it goes over this temperature. When it cools down,
how can a person find out what kind of temperature this is? Hidden, akir haiklala beyade. Take this general rule. So let's say, Habib Rabbi Ishtiya, if you can drink it, you have a general rule. If you can drink it or eat it, what is that temperature? For sure, it's not that temperature. It's not hot. So you got tea or coffee where you can't drink it, that's over your temperature. For sure. Or water which is over that temperature, you can't drink it. So that the mouth is much more sensitive than the hand. If you will stop eating it, drinking it because of its heat, for sure it's yatzalot. For sure it's over one to that. So Baruch, we don't test our babies. That's our mouths. Okay, I just want to finish up. This is complicated. Bishul achar bishul. There's no cooking after cooking. Big debate over here. What is no cooking after cooking? What is it, no cooking after cooking? It's got to be fully cooked. Fully cooked? So the question is, what is fully cooked? So the general rule. It's fully cooked. But the more you cook it, the better it gets. So it's not really fully cooked. It's got to be fully cooked. And it gets worse when you cook it more. So then it's really fully cooked. Shalom. The more you cook it, the better it is. The better. It's supposed to be, that's how you like it. We call it Hamid. The Iraqis call it Hamid. My wife calls it Habit. Whatever they call it. There's other names. Tunisia. Adafina. 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 That's the chickpeas, right? We don't have chickpeas. The Iraqis have chickpeas. We have rice stuff. You stuff the chicken with rice. And you can sew it up, actually. Sew it up with bread. Old ladies do it. We don't do it anymore. No, I can't do it. And you put it on the fire all night. Haven't had it for years. I haven't had it since I got married. Okay. One of the sacrifices for marriage. Mark my food now, actually. All right, not too bad. Okay. There's no cooking after cooking. Have it fully cooked? Okay. However, he says, and this is what Rabbi Yosef does not agree with him, there is cooking after baking or after roasting. Ashkenazi people also, there is cooking after baking, there is cooking after roasting. Rabbi Yosef says, well, there's no cooking after roasting, there is baking. So for example, let me give you an example. Crouton. How do you make crouton? Fried. So of course very shy, fried is crouton. Do you example something baked? Baked. A baked thing. Okay, let's say a baked thing. So you have hot soup. You have a cliche. Irui bikusha, whatever, hot soup, and you've got to pour hot water from a kibushan onto the potato. Hot soup, you've got to pour directly from the kibushan onto the potato, very fast for them. So it's cooking afterwards. Bread. Dunking your bread and soup. It depends, with the soups, that's why it's better to use a klishishi. You clear, so you put the soup in a pot, you put the pot into your plate. Picture is the base. The cooks take it back. So you have a picture, you pour it from the bowl and on the fire into your cup. Into your bowl. Now you want to dunk the bread in. But Ishai says there is cooking after baking. We're at number 9. Right, I call them in a TV show. For a primary vessel or a secondary vessel. That's very efficient. She got it. The problem with the cliché only applies to Kalei Abishu. Things which are easily small fish. Bread is easily cooked. You hold it, it's cooking after baking. It's not as easy. It's very easy. It's already cooked. It's already baked. So that would be Kalei Abishu. So T-shirt is a little.
But otherwise, Kishani doesn't cook. It's a big question about a spoon. What's it called? The matzeket. The ladle. Oh boy. So the question is, now the ladle is a secondary vessel or the primary vessel? So the answer depends how long it remains in the pot. So we're going to see. Also it says, once it moves to the primary vessel or the secondary vessel, it says the heat of the walls. So if it's cold walls, secondary vessel cools it down. Hot walls into prime vessel. What's usually the primary and secondary vessel? How does the food cool down? So the secondary vessel, the walls are cold. So they absorb the heat and they cool down the liquid. So therefore it depends. So the walls of the ladle are now hot, primary vessel. Not cooling down. Even though you're pouring from a ladle into your bowl is still secondary vessel. So if the ladle is kept outside the pot, it cools down and use it, so now your plate is now we have to talk about this next week. It's up here. We'll talk about Bishul Achar Bishul. Remind me, number six. We're number six. Cooking after cooking. So this is a very hard stuff. A lot of material. Do you have the book of Yeshua Shabbat? No, borrow it. You borrow it and bring it back.